SeaWorld letting go 350 of its employees. The reduction in the workforce comes as SeaWorld faces declining attendance at its theme parks, in part because the company stopped using the killer whales in its once very popular shows. More details on all these stories at townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Free Fire Radio right here in the studios of KCNR 1460 with Carl and Linda Bott. Linda is still on assignment this morning. Good morning, everybody. It's Thursday, and I have Trish Clark coming in here too. So we're gonna rearrange everybody as we come in here. But good morning. I have Mary Rickard with me, and I also have Stephanie Bridget from the DA's office. And that was totally my fault because I forgot that you were coming in this morning too. So don't worry, we'll get it all situated. And we have Rebecca on the line. We're gonna be talking about Think Pink. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you? What's going on down there?
Oh, it's a busy morning handing out bags and lots of excited people to support the cause today.
And where are you at today?
I'm at KIXE on North Market Street.
That's cool. You must hand out how many hundred bags there?
We hand out, well, overall 40,000 bags will go out today.
40,000 bags going out today. So if people can come by and can just drive by and pick one up, is that correct?
Yep, that's right. There's a line of people ready to hand them out. It's really quick. They just swing by and pick up to 10 bags per car and just be on their way. It's really fast and easy.
Okay, and so what's in the bags?
Oh, there's all kinds of educational material on breast cancer awareness. There's a calendar. Every year we do a calendar. There's a pin, some just different things that sponsors have their names on to help sponsor NorCal Think Pink. And, uh-huh. But most importantly, it's the educational materials that we want to get out there to the community.
Okay. All right. So how long has this been going on?
This is the 21st year, 21 years.
21 years. And did I read something that Think Pink started right here?
It did, yes, in Reading. So Think Pink, Reading started the Think Pink slogan, so that's where that came from. Yeah.
Well, you know what? When you hear of all these things, and you know, oh gosh, you know, Reading is this, Reading is that. Why aren't we hearing that Reading is a caring community, as caring as it is, and say, in fact, it was Reading who began the Think Pink movement. You know, that to me is an important thing.
Absolutely. It's very important, and I do know that the people in our community are very aware of that. Just the turnout and the support that we get every year for Think Pink Day, the awareness in the community is definitely there, and the support. Outside of Reading, you know, I know we're starting to venture out north and south with the bags every year, so we go as far down as Willows right now. So we're trying to, I think, every year expand the Think Pink name.
Well, we've had Dr. Pamela Danuka was on day before yesterday, an oncologist here in town, and breast cancer is curable. It's 99% curable if caught early, through self-testing, but then through mammograms, and how important it is. There's three types of cancer if caught early can be cured. Breast cancer, colon cancer, and cervical cancer. So it is so important that everybody get out and get the mammograms. And I believe that mammograms are free under most plans, most insurance plans. And I tell you something else, too. You go down to some of these places, and even if you don't have an insurance company, that there's programs out there that will provide mammograms.
So, right, that's right.
Well, thank you so much for what you do, Rebecca.
Thanks, Carl.
You bet. And anybody, now, how long is this going to go on this morning?
We'll be here, I believe, until 9 o'clock.
Okay.
And they're at the post office on Churn Creek until 8.
Okay. All right. Thank
All
you
right.
so much.
All right. Thanks, Carl.
You bet.
Bye.
Okay. Hey, we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to come back in and get ourselves rearranged here. This is Carl Bott and Trish Clark, who just came rolling through here after spending eight or 9 years on the road here and back. We'll be right back after these messages.
Carmona's Appliance Center.
Prices are falling at Carmona's Appliance Center. You'll find fabulous fall savings on all our Whirlpool, Maytag, KitchenAid, Amana, and Jenner appliances, including washers, dryers, refrigerators, freezers, microwaves, ranges, dishwashers, cooktops, and more. Huge in-stock inventory, local delivery, complete parts and service department at your locally owned brand source dealer, Carmona's Appliance Center, Mistletoe Lane, Reading. Like us on Facebook and log on to carmonasappliances.com.
Play our $100,000 pro football promotion at Wind River Resort and Casino. It's a fun, easy, and fully automated pick'em-style football promotion. Simply swipe your River Club card, make your picks, and collect a receipt with your own weekly picks, prior week's results, and year-to-date standings. Top weekly picks win a share of $500 plus weekly draws. Top season final winners win a share of $5,000. Earn bonus plays every day. Win Brand. For official rules and details, log on to WinRiver.com. Football is better at the river. Start your week outright with some football tailgate fun at Wind River Resort and Casino inside Elements. Pigskin Party. Every Monday, come on down for some action-packed football and catch your favorite team on any of our 18 screens. Win a pair of Raiders tickets, prizes, a spin for $100 or nothing, or $599 kickoff for cash. Nowhere else in town offers this. More games, more ways to win, more prizes, more football fun. Hop on our tailgate. For details, log on to WindRiver.com. Football is better at the river.
If you live in the Reading area and have been contemplating going solar, now is the time. Hi, I'm Bruce Blake, president of the Powerhouse Solar. The state-mandated solar energy rebate currently offered by Reading Electric Utility is ending on October 31st. This rebate can put up to $5,000 cash in your pocket. If you've been told in the past that solar was not available in your area due to solar installation caps, those restrictions have been lifted for a limited time. Taking advantage of this rebate opportunity is simple. Call the Reading Electric Utility today, and they will give you a voucher number. Then call Powerhouse Solar, and we will design and install a state-of-the-art SunPower solar energy system to meet your family's specific energy needs. Powerhouse Solar is an elite dealer for SunPower and is the oldest SunPower dealership in California. Don't miss this opportunity. Call Powerhouse Solar today at 275-5600 or visit us on Facebook or at powerhousesolar.com.
Make your purchase of a new luxurious energy-efficient home in the upscale master-planned community of Highland Park, located off Churn Creek Road. Whether you select one of our new style homes currently under construction or choose from our selection of available lots with fabulous views, you'll enjoy amenities that include basketball court, shade structure, bathrooms, children's play area, and masonry work by John Ashmore Masonry, enhancing the look of exteriors with brick and culture stone since 1984. Your Palomar-built Highland Park home is centrally located minutes from downtown and close to shopping. Contact Debbie Morgan at our new model home today.
Carmona's Appliance Center.
At Carmona's Appliance Center, it's barbecue season today and every day. From Broil King, Weber, Traeger, and the Big Green Egg, we carry all the brand names at the best prices in the North State, along with barbecue tools, pellets, barbecue seasonings, and much more. At Carmona's, we know barbecue cooking inside and out. Discover which grill will complete your outdoor kitchen. At Carmona's Appliance Center, your full-service appliance dealer with a full parts and service department, located on Mistletoe Lane, Reading.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl Bott and Trish Clark. Good morning, Trish Clark.
Good morning, Carl.
Thank you for showing up today.
Well,
albeit late.
Albeit late. Well, no, actually, I came in just as it was starting. The look on your face told me
oh,
that.
Oh, no. That was, you know what? And this is me, because I put it in Facebook yesterday, and it said, and then County Supervisor Mary Rickert got me early this morning, and we're talking about what she's going to talk about. And then Stephanie Bridget came in, and the DA came in and accosted me because my Think Pink shirt that I'm wearing only has a little pink on it.
Okay, well,
I just want you to know.
I
just want you to know, though,
that
all the men and at KCNR 1460 were all wearing pink undies, though. You're just going to have to take our word for it.
Well, I've got a solid full pink shirt on, so okay. I'm representing here.
You know, again, again, it's overkill. You know, what it is, you're an overachiever. You know, she starts out, you know, she's, you know, and most women will have children. She has twins. And then, you know, most.
Overachiever.
You know what?
There's and that's exactly nothing, what we need in the district attorney's
you know,
office.
You know what? Right now, I am surrounded by strength.
Are you feeling it?
I'm feeling the estrogen just starting to seep into my body right here. You know. Woo. Anyway, okay, I'm sorry. Okay, let's get going with the weather. Oh, we don't have the weather though, do we? Nobody.
How about
Jared?
Jared,
what's the weather look like there, buddy? Okay, I'd say it's going to be 46 to it's 46 right now, and it's going up to 70 today. And it's supposed to give us some rain tonight, and I think we're going to be raining tomorrow.
And the same temperatures kind of through the weekend.
Yeah, through the weekend, it's going to start getting warmer on Sunday, and then by Monday, it's going to be up close to 90 degrees. So.
And the weather, as always, is brought to us by Shasta Gas Propane. Our customers are warm friends. They're locally owned and operated. They give senior and veteran discounts. Give them a call at 365-3793.
There you go. All right. Okay, we're sitting here with...
we gave you got a flyer
did.
There
I have
for
it right
event.
Here with Stephanie, with Stephanie Bridget, our district attorney here in Shasta County, and also Mary Rickert, who is one of the Shasta County supervisors here, is up from the northern region.
Northeastern part of the county,
that's
yes.
That's right. Now, who do I start with today?
Oh, I mean, we can both talk about it. Okay. And that's the great thing, is we are coming together as a county and putting this program on for the entire county.
Okay, and we're talking about the opioid crisis and addiction, stopping the cycle in Shasta County. Now, I don't know if you were aware of it, but Linda's brother is a pain specialist and is also the speaker of the California Medical Association.
Interesting.
Was just up here, went up to Mount Shasta and talked to Dignity Health, and then down here at Dignity Health talking about the opiate crisis and where, you know, and where it started in the sense of how the government has a part in this, as do the doctors, because of what the government was saying, and then how it's led up to now and other ways of handling this crisis. So, you know, we get, you know, when I saw this, obviously, you know, this is gone. It's so nationwide. Mm-hmm. But I looked at the statistic last night. All of us were at the Matthew Sandusky talk for One Safe Place. And before that, they talked about something called ACEs.
Right.
And ACEs is the childhood events you
adverse
have.
Adverse
childhood
experience.
Events.
Mm-hmm. Experiences.
Experiences. And there's 10 of them. And then they did statistics here for Shasta County. Now, I, you know, statistics, I always worry about statistics anyway because I don't know how the questions are asked and I don't know what the questions are. But it appears that a lot of the children that are coming up in our families are being exposed to drugs. Mm-hmm. More so than the rest of California.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So our ACEs scores are, by and large, statistically about double what the state average are, and it's a very sobering fact that we in Shasta County need to address those. I think the two biggest issues right now that we need to work on, it's kind of the root of a lot of our social issues, is the ACEs issue. In order to kind of build healthier families and healthier children. And
I'm going to jump in and just say we're using a lot of acronyms here.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And well, the people that are out there listening don't have a clue what you're talking about. They weren't all that last
right, no,
night.
But I was going to say
so
this.
Let's do ACEs.
ACEs is Adverse Childhood Experiences.
Okay.
Yes. And it's something that the county has embraced, and they've trained about 26 people, I believe, mm-hmm. who are going out and they're giving talks in churches, schools, wherever they're asked. So anyone in the community can contact them, Health and Human Services.
And an adverse child
experience
can be things like domestic violence, drug use in the house, drunks.
Mental health
issues
and sexual abuse, physical abuse.
There's 10 of them. Mm-hmm. And you'll look at a child, and if a child has 4
or more,
his or her chances of having a normal life have been impacted severely.
And their health is also impaired.
They're dying earlier. They have diabetes. They've got all types of problems.
Yeah, both physical health and mental health, for sure.
And so this was tied. This was the first, first offering last night or presentation last night. It's very sobering. And then, of course, Matthew Sandusky came up afterwards, who was a victim of sexual violence, a sexual predator, of course, of Jerry Sandusky, his father, adopted father. And he says, I've got all 10 of those. Right. He tells about the story about getting his toes burnt by his biological father with a lighter, a cigarette lighter. So, and you get into this it's just tragedy. But as we know of anything, if you catch it early, you can change the trajectory of these children. Mm-hmm. So anyway,
yeah, it's like it's breaking the cycle is what we want to do.
And so, but part of this, and probably leads to a lot of the problems, is this opiate crisis that we're having right now. And this is what Mary's talking about, and of course, Stephanie.
Right. I just wanted to come in this morning and tell everybody that on November 16th at Mercy Oaks at 6:30 p.m., and it's open to the public, it's free, we're going to have this author. His name is Sam Kianos.
You
got to
get
Sam Kianonis, and he has written a book called Dreamland. And I read this book over a year ago, and it was a profound moment in my life, the realization of how serious this issue is and how important it is that we as a county address this. It's only going to continue to get worse. Recently, I did another tour of the jail, and they're now, anecdotally, they're saying that heroin is the number one a substance that pops up there.
Let me just bring this thing. When Rob Pelletti first came here 4.5 years ago, and everybody was talking about meth,
right?
And how bad meth was. And he said on the first show, "Oh no, heroin's making its way up here."
Exactly.
He says it's in Stockton bad. It's going to be here. And he says it's going to be a crisis. Mm-hmm. And
he's right.
He was absolutely right because they could see it moving
from
south to north.
This book is very interesting in is that it chronicles the whole process or the development of the opiate problem. It starts with big pharmaceutical companies and how it's connected. I could read a short comment here on the back of the cover. It says that the journalist Kianonis weaves an extraordinary story, including the personal journeys of the addicted, the drug traffickers, law enforcement, and scores of family affected by this scourge. And so this is why we really hope that the community embraces this topic. We become educated and informed. And then we also, and Stephanie has talked about it often, is we want to be able to have a call to action for our community because this is a big issue, and it's going to continue to be a bigger issue. Sometimes I'll stop at a stoplight as I'm driving through Reading, and I'll witness drug deals right in front of me on the street corner. It's very open. It's something that we need to protect our children. One of the number one preventative measures that they talk about is we all need to go home and lock our medicine cabinets. That is one of the places that kids first have their first experience with substance abuse is getting into the prescription pills. And so we need to become more aware, more educated, and more proactive.
Yeah, and one of the things to kind of mirror what Matthew Sandusky was saying last night is another thing that we need to do in kind of our call to action is that parents need to not be afraid to talk to their kids about drugs and be it prescription drugs or illegal drugs and the problems that can have on them if they go down the path of using those, and they need to have those conversations when they're young.
You know, if the drugs, sexual perversion, sexual assault, all of these things, you know, and he says by the time you get to a certain point when you tell kids, you know, oh, if anybody touches you in the bikini area, to tell us this. No, he says that's way too late.
Yeah,
that's way too late. Mm-hmm. They've been groomed, you know, at that point. Okay, the opiate crisis, Mr.
Kianos
is going to be speaking here again on Thursday, November 16th. We'll give this a lot of play here.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Of course. And I'd love to have him on, and I think you're all going to arrange that.
Yes. Yes,
and
we will.
And here's the thing is, this opiate, you know, you look over and you have disdain for these people that are popping drugs, you know, heroin. But they are costing us every day. They are draining our community, our coffers, our medical facilities. They are filling up our jails because they're stealing stuff and doing this. We need to do something. We need to get our arms around this. And maybe, you know, and I'm looking forward to hearing what the Board of Supervisors and the City Council are coming up with.
Well, how is the medical community involved in this? Because certainly that's where, you know, we know on a regular basis, we go to the doctor, the first thing they want to do is prescribe some kind of a pill.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where, as you indicate, these are getting into the system. That's how people are getting addicted on drugs in the first place. How do we get the medical community to be involved in this whole thing to say, you know, maybe there's something else we can do other than those pills?
Well, there is an organization. Stephanie, you want to talk about
that? I think we need to definitely get the medical medical community involved in an event like this, too, to come out and watch. And we hope that portion of our community does also come out and get involved in this.
Mm-hmm. Well, as we said, you know, earlier, Dr. Lee Snook came up and was talking about this opiate crisis. And at one point, this was considered the way to handle things.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking to Dr. Norm Verhoog, who's got a orthopedic surgery here. He says in the Netherlands, where they're from, is that when somebody has an operation, they expect to have pain. 90% of their people get over-the-counter pain handlers, you know, Tylenol or whatever.
Right.
10% get opiates. In the United States, it's exactly the opposite.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They're in pain. They want a drug to take away the pain. And there have been hospitals and doctors sued when they wouldn't give it, you know, didn't give them the pain pills. So he said on three of his operations, he gave his people, Tylenol or whatever else, Aleve. And he said none of them needed to get the opiates.
Mm-hmm.
So that right there is something maybe we all
and that's
think
a perfect
about.
Example. I personally have been, and wouldn't say the doctor, went in to talk about a surgery that was going to be scheduled in the future. And before I left the office that day, they gave me a prescription for an enormous amount of really big painkillers.
Sure.
Right. Things that I never had it filled, but I walked out of there thinking, I haven't even had the surgery, and I ended up not scheduling it, but it was for like 90 days this very heavy pain medication.
Yeah.
That's just wrong.
And that is being addressed. This book really covers that. This is an excellent book, like I say. It goes in depth as to how this all has progressed and what's going on actually, you know, across the border in Mexico and the heroin that's coming into our country. So I highly recommend that everyone try and set
that. We're
going
to talk about this.
Away.
Yeah, this is going to be, and hopefully I can get a copy of that. I can, you know, score one off Mary here. with the speaker that's going to be November the 16th, it's going to be at the Mercy Oaks and Mercy Oaks Drive. For more information, call 225-5220. Who should attend? Well, anybody.
Everybody.
You know, the concern about this, too, is, you know, the opiates. And now we're looking at legalizing marijuana sales here in Reading. And I want to talk to the DA about this after we take a break. Mary Rickard, Supervisor, thank you so much for being here. I mean, you're welcome to stay.
I just want to thank Stephanie for allowing me to take some valuable time that she would be talking to your listeners, and because this is a passion of mine, I think it's one of our real top number one, one of our number one issues in the county that we need to address. We are not going to be able to attract businesses and expand our own local economy unless we deal with some of these social issues.
Well, and then that begs the question, and I'll let you escape after this one: is we need more jail space. That's one of the problems
Absolutely.
We have. The sheriff comes in and gives us a list of who's in there. I mean, we've got people, 27 people in there for homicides.
That's right.
27 people in there for homicides. Yeah. And then you start getting into.
That's up to 31 now.
Oh, 31 in there for homicides. Okay. And and then it goes from there. But we need some solutions that way, too.
Right.
I mean, this has got to be a holistic approach. We hit them from everything.
It's the whole system. It's law enforcement through prosecution through jail.
Yep.
And it is a continual discussion on the Board of Supervisors level. And I talked to Tom Basenko a couple of days ago at great length about another idea we're floating and he's working on. So
yeah, he's thinking he may be able to pull as much as 60 beds.
60
beds is 60. You know, it'll be filled the first day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
First day, you know, they go from 20 to 60 bookings a day.
The secret, though, Stephanie, is as you indicated earlier, at some point you have to break the cycle.
Break the cycle.
Absolutely.
We've got to address it up here what we've got, but at some point you got to stop the flow.
Right, and that's exactly right, and that's why ACEs, adverse childhood experiences, is it so important that we educate our community about that so that we all have an understanding. I'd love to see, in my opinion, classes in jail to the inmates. We've got a captive audience there. So that perhaps maybe they rethink about what they're doing at home and maybe how it's impacting the next generation. And do they want that for their children? So these are the kinds of things that we really need to work on as a community. So this is really important that we talk about this issue about, you know, heroin and the opiate crisis. So thank you so much for your time, and everyone have a great day.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. Hey, we're going to take a break here. Oak Run Elementary, a public Montessori school, invites the community to hear their third annual Harvest Feast and Hoedown this October 21st, this Saturday, from 3 to 7 p.m. on Oak Run Elementary School. Dance to live music from Wild Bill and the Mudwompers and the Oak Run students. And the Mudwompers. All benefits from the evening's live and silent auctions benefit student enrichment activities. Tickets available at the door. Come and celebrate fall with the Oak Run community. Tri-Counties Bank has started a California Fire Fund donation account for victims. They've started with an initial deposit of $25,000. Hooray for Tri-Counties. The bank encourages others to make monetary donations to the California Fire Fund 2017 at any Tri-Counties Bank branch or donate online at youcaring.com Fire Fund. So. They're going to be sent into non-profit organizations, but you can just go down to Tri-Counties Bank and donate that way. Stand Down 2017 is going to happen on October 26th, 27th, 28th, a week from today. We'll talk more about that, but this is a way to help our homeless veterans and their families. And, of course, the Spaghetti Feed Fundraiser, the 16th annual, presented by Wings of Angels and Sons of Italy. This Saturday at the Sons of Italy on Cedars Road, $12 for adults, $6 for children, 12 and under. Tickets available at the door or online at AlyssaWingsOfAngels.org. Raffle prizes, Coca-Cola machine and rifle raffle tickets. This year, Wings of Angels is honoring Natalie Humphrey, 15 of Reading, battling lymphoma, and Parker Reynolds, 16 of Cottonwood, battling leukemia and lymphoma. For more information, call Donna at 941-9932. This is another great. There's so many good things that people do for our community.
Great events
out there.
Going great on events. All the time in Shasta County.
Okay, hey, we're going to take a break, and we'll be right back with Shasta County District Attorney Stephanie Bridget.
Hi, I'm Chuck Kinney, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. There's a joke around our company that our propane is better than other companies' propane. The fact is that most propane sold in the North State is manufactured in the same refineries in the Bay Area, so there's really no difference. However, there can be a big difference between propane companies. When you call Shasta Gas, you will be greeted by a friendly, knowledgeable customer service representative that will answer your questions or concerns and even give you an approximate time that your delivery will be there if you need to know. If you want, you can also talk to the owner, me. There may also be a big difference in prices between companies. Our motto at Shasta Gas is our customers are warm friends. So for safety, service, and savings, and to experience this difference, give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
Attention, Marines! And other military veterans and civilians as well. Join us, the Shasta Marines, in celebrating the 242nd birthday of our United States Marine Corps. This year, the event takes place at Wind River Casino on Friday, November 10th. Our guest speaker will be a young Marine who served in Iraq and paid a high price for his service. For information, contact Mike at 524-7595. That number again, 524-7595. We hope to see you there, Marines. Semper Fi.
Redding Concrete is proud to help bring high school football to the radio here on KCNR 1460. Redding Concrete is your local ready-mix concrete provider. Exceptional customer service and a quality ready-mix product at competitive prices is our primary goal. Redding Concrete, located at 16855 Clear Creek Road. Give them a call at 530-244-7593 for your next concrete pour. Redding Concrete, serving you with a quality ready-mix product.
Save, save, save.
At Redding Kia's Customer Appreciation Tent Sale this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Redding Kia says thank you with big discounts on every new Kia in stock.
This Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, 418 East Cypress Avenue, Redding Kia, reddingkia.com.
Shasta College presents Arthur Miller's classic play, The Crucible. Coming to the Shasta College Theater October 13th and running through October 22nd. Purchase tickets online at shastacollege.edu.
Took my family away from my Carolina home.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, Thursday, the 19th. Gosh, the 19th of October. I'm here with Trish Clark. My Trish girl's finally back.
She found her way back. I'm going to have to write my name on Thursday so you remember the Thursday girl, for heaven's sake, Carl.
You come in here. You walk into the last second round here. I've got you replaced. Right,
yeah, I'm
right there.
I'm
you were,
feeling
I got,
that right now.
I got supervisors. I've got district attorneys here. Hey, this portion
on
of the
show. On Monday, they told me they missed me, Carl, and now here on Thursday, I forgot.
Everybody missed you, Trish. Hey, this portion the show is brought to you by Alliance Heating and Air. Been in the business a quarter of a century, voted best in the North State, and you know why? They are the best in the North State. They're the best anywhere. You know, now's a good chance to have your heaters checked before you really start to have to kick them on. Get the filters cleaned out. A lot of smoke in the air this year. Make sure everything's working, and they can do that. They can fix any type of or maintain any type of heating or cooling systems over at Alliance Heating and Air. Give them a call, 221-2642, or check out their website at homecomfort.org. Okay, we're here with Shasta County District Attorney Stephanie Bridget. This is the first morning of many that you're going to be coming here.
Yeah, I got it's a regular spot.
Got a
finally.
Regular spot now that we can talk to the district attorney. Now we got all the law enforcement going here.
Good.
We got sheriffs. We have chiefs. You're bringing in Anderson's, chief. Now we have the district attorney. I don't know what's left. What's left out there? Nothing.
No,
you,
I think
you
we're
got
good.
It all. We got
you,
it all.
I think you got it covered.
Okay. Well, you know what? It's such a
all
such
the
an approach.
The
yeah. The only thing we don't have is the community correctional group, and I may get her in here too, at least to talk to her once. Okay, we're still going to continue on about the opiate. You wanted to talk some more about that, or was there another thing?
Yeah, well, I just wanted to kind of highlight one thing we didn't get to on the last segment, is that how much we've seen an increase in just in my office and the DA's office since over the last, let's say, 5-6 years. If you just look at the number of cases and how the problem you can tell is getting worse just by the amount of cases that we're seeing in the district attorney's office. And remember, we don't file every case that we get. Law enforcement doesn't send us every arrest that they do. So really, when you look at our numbers, that is what's a provable case that can go to trial. It doesn't represent the total number that we're seeing in our community. But if you look back in 2002, we filed 970 cases. If you fast forward to 2016, last full year last year, we filed 1,817 cases that are drug cases. These are just
drug
cases.
These are major and kind of something that this isn't by any means. This is just the tip of the iceberg,
right?
Could you say? Because these are ones that get forwarded to you by the police. They're serious enough to do that. And then of that group, These are the ones that you picked that are serious enough that you want to take to trial.
Right, and that are, you know, provable. Have been investigated, have all the elements met. So, you know, there's all the people who are doing drugs and who never get caught. Or the number of...
Selling it. Sure.
I mean, so it just kind of shows that from 2012 to 2016, we have doubled the number of cases that are just drug-related offenses that are being prosecuted. And that just really kind of highlights how much of a problem and how much it's spreading throughout the community.
Well, let's talk about these drug cases, because we're talking about just drug cases. Now, does this include, like, assaults with drugs involved?
This is where drug charge is charged as the primary offense, and it could have, you know, a theft filed along with it. It could have, you know,
but drugs
something.
Is the major thing. So just think of this as over 1,000 drug cases. So just say that's 10%. Would you say that's right, 10%?
Oh, boy, I don't.
I have no idea.
Yeah,
okay.
It'd be hard.
That'd be hard. Okay, so let's just say we have thousands. And then you've got these of the collateral damage to these, cars being stolen, murders, assaults, you know, that they may not be the drugs, but it's drug related on there because these are two separate, you know, pots.
Oh,
right?
Yeah, that's two separate categories. Because we look at that and we compare it, and it has gone up about 300 cases from 2012 to 2016 where the theft is the primary offense. So that has gone right up along with it. And we've really seen, 2012 was the first full year after AB 109. So there's a lot more people out in the community that can't be housed in the jail. And then obviously 2016 is after the passage of Prop 47 that occurred in 2014. So we saw a large number of that 1,817 cases shift from being felonies to misdemeanors, because out of that 1,800 cases, 1,300 of them are now misdemeanors based on the passage of Prop 47.
Okay.
What were we thinking?
Which is really bad, because it helps make this problem worse, because people aren't getting the treatment that they need.
Because you can't put them in jail.
Because there's no hammer in order to say, if you don't do it, there's a consequence.
You know, Mary Rickard, God bless her, sits there, well, you know, we should take these people that are in jail and give them these classes. Mary, the ones that need this aren't in jail anymore because, one, there's no room in the jail, and two, they've made them into misdemeanors and there's no hammer to hold over these people.
Yeah,
you know, so they're going to continue to do drugs at the lower level, but it's going to ruin their lives. It's going to ruin their children's lives. It's going to ruin the people's lives around them. I can't tell you right now how many people I know that are taking care of their grandkids.
Yes.
They've adopted them. And I mean, legally adopting them because their children are on heroin.
Right. Yeah.
And God bless these families that do this because they want to save these kids. But this is where we are in our society. I mean, it's the first generation that's going to live less, live a lesser time, or die at an earlier age,
right,
than the one in front of them.
Right, absolutely. We're going to see a lot of that as long as this epidemic allows to keep going and there is no hammer, no accountability.
Well, what should we do then?
Well, I mean, I think we got to address the entire system.
Okay.
You know, the law enforcement has to have the personnel that they need in order to do the enforcement that's going to make a difference for our community. At the same point, I'm going to have the resources in order to properly vet and control those cases in order to get the ones that need to and can go into treatment. But we got to have the hammer of the jail in order for the prosecution piece in order for that to be successful.
Well, how do we get to jail?
Well, I know Sheriff Pasenko's been in here talking to you about.
He's got 60 more spots.
He's got 60 more that he's working on, and that's going to help.
It's going to help.
Yeah.
But, you know, he said truthfully several years ago on this show, he needs a 1,000-seat jail.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he needs. And if you had a 1,000-seat jail, if you had another 100 spots, 150 spots, maybe 200, you could drop a lot of this. But we don't.
Yeah.
And the Board of Supervisors is, you know, bless their hearts. I haven't come up with anything, and it's been 5 years. The City Council is, you know, if it wasn't for Bethel Church, coming in with $500,000, and you got Wind River coming in at $250,000 to give to you, to the district attorney's office. I mean, we'd be in even worse case.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we haven't even, by the way, not to throw water on this fire of let's get stuff done. And this, the unfunded pensions is unfunded liabilities. Here it comes.
Okay,
it's going again.
So, you know, yeah. You sit and you listen, and I'm listening to this conversation, and it becomes very frustrating. But we have to go back to the basics of...
That's it. We have to start.
Well, we got to start changing what we're doing. You can't expect to continue to do the same thing and get different results.
Right.
Sure.
We got to start turning around how we raise our kids. Get back into the school, start with an education, start with turning the community around. We can't fund all these issues at the top if we keep building them from the time the babies are born.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we've got to start turning it around from birth and start changing those cycles, get into our schools and start doing some parenting classes that we're not doing.
Right.
These kids, they grow up, they're seniors in high school, they have two or three babies, they're on drugs, and we just keep doing this.
Well, I can definitely say that that's been one of my focuses since I came in, is to work on the outreach piece, and we are going into the schools like we never have before to talk about sex crimes, human trafficking, all those things, and how to not be a victim, not fall into those cycles and see what that happens. And we're going to continue to do that type of stuff, because that's very important to us as a community, to me personally, in my position. And one of the first things I've done is I created the Family Violence Unit. I put four very skilled prosecutors in that to handle all those family crimes, domestic violence, sexual assault, elder abuse, stalking, so that we have quality, hardworking, dedicated prosecutors who have the specialized training to make sure those cases don't fall through the cracks, because that's going to stop having more victims in our community.
At some point, you've got to start stemming it.
Okay,
we just keep building as you indicate.
We have to take a break here. And here's the thing is, if I was sitting there in a operations center when we're planning an operation in the military, I'm looking at a portion of nation building. We're talking about, you know, we have now we have this country here. Now we have to rebuild it. And the way you do it with the children.
Mm-hmm.
Because the 12 and 15 year olds, that's too late. They're already turned. You got to catch them early. So this whole thing looks like we should maybe take a look at incarcerating them at a certain age, but then putting everything else at those young
changing
ones.
Changing our babies'
changing
lives.
Changing their lives totally.
Mm-hmm.
So they will not, by the time they're 15, they're not in trouble. They're staying in school. They're planning on going off and getting a trade or going to college. But right now, we're in a downward spiral. So we have to start someplace, and you've got to start in school. So I applaud you, Stephanie, for your, mm-hmm. you know, for your outreach like this. But this is, you're just one facet of where it has to come from. All right.
Sure.
Hey, we're going to take a quick break here. Bastiani Arms, 2539 Larkspur, brings us this segment. The only place I would buy a firearm is at Bastiani Arms. They have great customer service. They stand behind everything they sell. Their people are great. They know what they're talking about, and veterans get discounts at Bastiani Arms. Open Tuesday through Saturday, 2539 Larkspur, right here in town. Locally owned, locally operated. We'll be right back.
But all the thought you're giving me is conscience, I guess. If I were walking in your shoes, I wouldn't worry enough. Are you and your friends are worried about me? I'm having lots of fun.
You obviously really love washing your car. Your wheels always look like you just got your car detailed.
Oh, I hate washing my car. That's why I'm in the Car Wash Club at Premier Oil Change. I can run my car through their state-of-the-art new car wash all month long for a fixed price.
Now, that's out of my budget.
You'll be pleasantly surprised. It's very affordable. It starts at $22 a month, and it is fast. I get my car washed in under 5 minutes. They have free vacuums right next to the freeway. Easy in, easy out. I also like the oil change service. Having an infant and not having to get out of my car is a huge plus.
What a great service. Glad I asked. I'll check it out tomorrow.
Visit us in Palisandro. Premier is in the Holiday Market Shopping Center or in Redding on Lake Boulevard, next to Waterworks Park. Both locations, you get a free car wash with every oil change. Home of the friendly oil change and unlimited car wash.
Premier, your friendly oil change. Premier, your friendly oil change.
Did you know all PG&E residential customers will be switched to time-of-use billing by 2019? That means you could pay three times more for your power during the day. Solar power from Advanced Power Reading is the solution. And with our new lithium battery pack, you can take advantage of the new rates by using your stored energy during the peak hours and recharge at night when rates are low. Visit our showroom at 843 North Market Street and see the new battery technology at work. And our new battery can be added to your existing solar system. Advanced Power Reading is offering zero down with up to 25-year financing. Give us a call today at 226-0701 and let us show you the way to produce your own power. Remember these three things. Don't let anyone talk you into a lease. Use a local solar contractor. Get at least three bids. And call the experts at Advanced Power Reading, 226-0701, or stop by our office at 843 North Market Street, Reading. 226-0701, 843 North Market Street, Reading.
Tobacco and Brew has been a sponsor here on KCNR 1460 since we started the station 8 years ago. A long-standing Reading tradition, Tobacco and Brew is locally owned, backs our veterans, and does so much more for this community. It's located at 2143 Hilltop Drive. Check out their new lines, new products, new briar pipes, and of course, the famous walk-in humidor. Come in and see the newly remodeled Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive, open 7 days a week.
North Valley Stand Down is an effort to reach out to veterans who are suffering from the effects of poverty and who need help. A wide variety of free services and necessities will be offered to veterans in need. Transportation is available. Stand Down 2017 is at the Shasta District Fairgrounds in Anderson, Thursday, October the 26th through Saturday the 28th. It's all free with no strings attached and nothing to fear. For information on how to get help, call 605-811-4.
You know I need your love. You got that hold over me.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl Bott and Trish Clark. Trish is back. I just don't know how to handle it, though. Trish is back. You know, so I completely, you know, after going, you being gone for so long.
I've only gone for 6 weeks.
Yeah, 6 weeks, a bit of a great time, huh? Hey, this portion of the show brought to you by Four Winds Jewelry, 2225 Hilltop Drive, the only full-service jewelry store in town. This is where Trish goes and Linda goes to pick up. I tell you what, they have great selection of all types of jewelry at Four Winds Jewelry, open Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 4. Okay, and we're here with Shasta County District Attorney Stephanie Bridget. Last night, and I'm to kind of set this up, Matthew Sandusky talked about being molested by his adopted father.
Right.
He didn't get adopted till he was like 15 or 16, but he had been molested by Jerry Sandusky, since he was like seven.
Seven years old.
He started grooming him then, and it's just a horrible story. To this day, he'll walk into places and a smell will set him off. I mean, you have to hear the whole story, but it was just, oh my gosh. But one of the things he mentioned last night is a children's advocacy center.
Right.
And you've got a lot of information about that.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we don't have one in Reading.
No, we don't. We don't have them. And, you know, they've been around since 1985, that there's over 950 children advocacy centers worldwide. So this is a worldwide thing that is out there. There's over 700 of those in the United States, but we don't have one here in Shasta County. And really what it is it's a multidisciplinary approach to child sexual assault and child physical abuse. So as our system currently is if a child is a victim of either sexual or physical abuse, they're going to disclose maybe to a friend, and then they're going to have it, maybe to their parent. It gets to their parent. So they're going to now have talked about it twice. Then they're going to have, the parent's going to call a police officer who's going to have a beat officer show up, and they're going to tell that beat officer about it. And then it'll get referred to investigations and child family services. Child family services will interview that child, and the investigators will interview that child. We're up to 4 or 5 interviews right now at this point. Then the child's going to have a medical exam and retell the entire thing. The child's going to see a therapist or mental health. That's another time telling it. then that's what the case is going to come to the DA's office and talk to the deputy district attorney in preparation for trial about this. And then they're going to ultimately end up in trial where they have to talk about it in front of the offender. And when you look at it and you break it down, there's like 11 different times that that child is going to have to retell one of the worst things that's ever happened to them. And that system is a poor system. It's a system that makes the child continue to be re-victimized and get to a point where they a lot of times just give up and don't even want to talk about it anymore. And at the very end of that long chain is when you can finally hold that person accountable, and you want that child to be able to talk at that point. So this child advocacy approach takes all of them, mental health, medical, children and family services, DA's office, and law enforcement, and houses them all in one location. So that when there's that call, when there's that victim is taken to that location. And on that same day, they're going to go into one room. There's going to be a viewing room where medical, children, family services, district attorney, everybody is sitting there watching one interview. And normally it's done where they have like a wireless earpiece to the actual forensic interviewer who's in there asking the questions.
And so they can feed information.
So they can ask all their questions answered at one time.
Right. So if CFS is something.
One voice.
Right. Yeah. Something is not being covered that Children Family Services needs, they can feed that question in. Or the prosecutor who has a question can feed that in. Or medical. So at the end of that one interview by someone who's forensically trained to lead that in a non-suggestive, non-leading way, the child can walk out of there and be done.
And hopefully establish that trust with that one person that can maybe be sustained through the process.
Absolutely.
So they can not feel like they've told it so many times and they do, how many people do I need to trust in this whole operation?
Right. Like
they're already having trust issues already.
Or do they not trust maybe or believe me because I have to tell it so many times? Why aren't they believing me? Why do I have to tell it a million times? And have their medical appointment
right there.
And then
they get confused and somebody will say, well, that which said the first time, and I can see where it would be traumatic.
Right.
Totally traumatic.
Okay, so we do need one.
Absolutely.
And right now, during the break, we talked about the things that are being done. Mm-hmm. Can you share that with everybody?
Yeah, absolutely. So we are in the process of trying to bring a children advocacy center here to Shasta County. It's going to be called the Children's Legacy Center. We've got a board of directors that's been meeting and a foundation committee that's been meeting well over a year now. We've scouted a location. We've worked on bylaws. We've visited other children advocacy centers, working on MOUs. We are ready to push forward to make this a reality here in Shasta County, and we're at that point now where we're going to start the fundraising portion in order to bring this center.
Well, obviously we're going to get grants, hopefully.
I shouldn't say obviously, because
there's how much do you believe that it's going to take to get this thing off the ground?
Well, in this initial push for funds, it's going to cost about $70,000 for us to get a grant writer, to get those basic things we need to do in order to start getting grants, getting things secured that we need to. So that's our initial push. But we've, from what we looked at, especially since we've found a location that is going to be, looks appropriate for us, that's not a new build, it's an existing building, which makes it a little bit cheaper. We're looking at $2 to $3 million in order to fund the entire thing.
There's no existing government buildings we could use to put people, to house this thing to begin with?
Well, the thing is, we are, in that we've already started a lot of this multidisciplinary approach in my office.
Mm-hmm.
So they're coming together and doing their meetings and working on getting it started. And we've got some new equipment that have been put in to start doing a limited forensic model of interview to cut down on the interviews.
We got like 1 minute. So things have started. I'm sorry. This is great. We may have to bring you back again before the month's over.
Yeah. It's a good thing. As people hear about it, you know that we are working on it, and it has been shown in other communities that bring in a children advocacy center that it is something that breaks that cycle, lessens the trauma on children, and can really decrease the number of victims and abuse in the community because they're getting that quality care.
And they're getting the vendors off.
Absolutely. I wish we could have the Sandusky didn't have a written out speech, and so he rambled at times. I'll just say this, but he had so much information in there that I wished people could hear that.
Yeah.
On how it happened, how it, you know, how a child that has upbringing that they're looking just for love, affection, acceptance, and how the predators are out there, and how something like this with the Legacy Center that we're talking about here would be a godsend for so many children. No child should live like that. We are so much behind this, and that I know I just am thinking of ways that perhaps you can add it on to something, or there's room someplace, at least to kick it off, and then and grow from there. But Stephanie Bridget, Shasta County District Attorney, thank you so much. Thanks for your reach out into the schools and for what you're doing there.
Thanks for having me.
Well,
all right.
Appreciate
looking
it.
Forward to
every month
interviews.
Every month on the on this Thursday at 7 o'clock. I think it's the third Thursday.
Is that?
I think whatever this is, the third Thursday at 7 a.m. So get ready for the next one. All right. Hey, when we come back, we have Judy Flores, who is the acting superintendent of all the schools here in Shasta County, and she's running for that position. So we're going to talk to her about her thoughts on education in Shasta County. We'll be right back.
The news is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Redding by Tobacco and Brew. Come see their newly remodeled store at 2143 Hilltop Drive in Redding. Tobacco and Brew, open 7 days a week.
One of their major agenda items, Majority Leader Mitch McConnell.
Passing this budget is critical to getting tax reform done, so we can strengthen our economy after years of stagnation.
Critics argue that tax reform guts Medicare and Medicaid and provides tax breaks only for the wealthy. The non-binding resolution sets up procedures that would allow Senate Republicans to act on tax reform with a simple majority vote.
That's Capitol Hill correspondent Wally Hines. The widow of a man killed in a workplace shooting in Maryland says her husband was so concerned about the gunman's temperament that he brought it up in church prayer groups. 53-year-old Bias Akan Tudev is one of three people shot and killed on Wednesday at a granite manufacturer in Hartford County, Maryland. Wilmington, Delaware, Police Chief Robert Tracy says the gunman had apparently targeted those victims, so police were concerned all day long about the safety of others against whom he may have held a grudge.
There was some concern that if there was associates or anybody else that he was involved in, or possible complainants on some of his past crimes.
As it turned out, they managed to round up the alleged shooter, 37-year-old Ray D. Prince, after a multi-state manhunt with nobody else being hurt. The number of Americans collecting unemployment benefits fell last week to the lowest level in 44 years, another sign that most workers enjoy job security.
The Labor Department says claims for jobless aid dropped by 22,000 to 222,000. The less volatile four-week average slid by 9,500 to 248,250. The low level of claims suggests employers are confident enough in the economy to hold on to workers. The unemployment rate last month hit a 16-year low of 4.2%.
As correspondent Jeremy House. On Wall Street, after a record-setting session yesterday, it's been slow going right now. The Dow is down 56 points. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Just because two people have similar Medicare coverage doesn't mean they pay the same amount. Take Bowling Powell's Carl and Richard, for example. They have the exact same Medicare supplement, same doctor network, and same Part D prescription drug plan. But Carl's monthly supplement premium is a lot more affordable. He pays $400 a year less than Richard for the exact same benefits. That's because Carl compared his health insurance options side by side by calling 1-800-711-9988 and speaking to a licensed insurance agent at eHealth. Carl was able to find a more affordable Medicare supplement insurance plan from an insurance company he could trust. Why pay more than you have to? Call 1-800-711-9988 for your free, no-obligation, side-by-side Medicare plan comparison. Illustrative example. Savings not guaranteed. Not affiliated or endorsed by the government. This is a solicitation of insurance.
Former President Obama back on the campaign trail as he'll be out stumping for two Democrats running for office.
This is the first time former President Barack Obama is making a campaign stop since leaving the White House. And it's for New Jersey gubernatorial candidate Phil Murphy. He's up against Republican Kim Guadagno. Obama is also stumping with Democrat Ralph Northam, who's running for governor of Virginia against Republican Ed Gillespie.
That is Julie Walker reporting an odd day earlier this week for one Alaska animal control officer who's more used to chasing down moose and grizzly bear. A Wasilla resident calling 911 after realizing that the more than 4-foot-long alligator he owns, named Allie, couldn't live in the bathtub anymore. The alligator is Wasilla's second run-in this year with a large reptile. Back in May, a 17-foot python named Sam went missing for several days before reappearing in his home's living room. More of these stories at townhall.com. If there's anything most Americans can't agree on these days, it's got to be in hoping that researchers can find a cure for cancer. Correspondent Mike Rozzia says regulators have now approved a new gene therapy for blood cancer in adults.
The treatment is called Yescarta. It comes from Kite Pharma, which is a subsidiary of drug maker Gilead Sciences. Yescarta is custom-made to treat aggressive lymphoma in adults. Gilead Sciences says the treatment will cost $373,000 per patient.
That's correspondent Mike Rozzia reporting. Aviation chiefs are investigating whether any laws or regulations were broken after a low-flying pilot dropped live turkeys onto a festival in Arkansas. The annual Yellville Turkey Trot has included a turkey drop, where birds are tossed out, then chased by festival goers. For more than 5 decades now, although sponsors have distanced themselves from it in recent years. Breaking news and analysis at townhall.com from Washington. I'm Bob Agnew.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 here in the studios, the opulent studios in downtown Reading. Kind of right at the beginning of the reclamation. I can just see everything around us just
changing.
Happening, changing.
For the better.
For the better. Okay, what's the weather look like today there, hon?
Jared's going to do
it. Jared's going to do it. Hey, hon.
How's the weather, Jared, hon?
More of that. All right, it's currently 46 degrees. Today we'll have increasing clouds with a high of 70 degrees, and tonight we'll have a chance of rain at 80% with a low of 49. On Friday, we have a 30% chance of showers, high of 63. Friday night, it's going to be mostly cloudy with a low of 46. On Saturday, we're going to have a 20% chance of showers. During the day, a high of 64, and at night, it's going to be partly cloudy with a low of 53. And on Sunday, it's going to be sunny and mostly clear with a high of 79 and a low of 54.
Ooh, and the weather is always brought to us by Shasta Gas Propane. Our customers are warm friends. They're locally owned and operated. They give veterans and senior discounts. Give them a call at 365-3793.
This portion of the show brought to you by Home Helpers, whether it's short-term or long-term, if you're looking for quality, compassionate in-home care, it's Home Helpers and Sharon Clark. You know what? If I, you know, I had a knee operation and I was laid up and Linda was, you know, busy or doing things, I'd have, you know, Home Helpers come in a couple times a week.
Just in those specific circumstances?
Well, just those. I don't know. But you know what? If it's, you know, Home Helpers.
Anyhow,
I
don't
know. I just totally, totally blown it. You know, you go for 6 weeks, you know, you come back and, you know,
I have
now,
to get you.
You got it. Got me going here. Okay. Home Helpers. Give them a call. 226-8350. Really is, they are the quality people to go to if you need in-home compassionate home health care. Okay. All right. Trish and I are here with Judy Flores. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Judy.
And people are going, Judy Flores, who's that?
I recognize that name. I've been hearing something about her recently.
Judy Flores is the acting superintendent of the Shasta County Office of Education. After Tom... left, took a job. Where did Tom go to?
So Tom is working jointly out of Sacramento and Washington, D.C. for the National Association of School Superintendents, NASS. And so he has offices and has a he's living in Sacramento, but also has an office in Washington, D.C.
Okay. So you've been, tell us about you. I mean, you were appointed, so...
Before, you know what, for one of the things I always found is that a lot of people do not understand that education in Shasta County does not fall under the purview of the county, per se, the county board of supervisors. A lot of people aren't aware that that is a separate elected position, superintendent of schools, that runs just like the board of supervisors, is elected by the people, and is a standalone department.
That's correct.
It is. But who's Judy, though? Because you're in charge of our kids.
Okay. Well, so I started teaching back in Hayward Unified in 1985 and moved to Reading in 1990 and started teaching at Shasta Meadows School and taught there for 3 years. And then when my oldest daughter was born, I moved over to work at the district office when I returned from my time with her, and took various positions within the Enterprise Elementary School District. Started in the area of math and then moved into overseeing assessment and professional development. And when Tom Armolino became the district superintendent there, I became his assistant superintendent. And so I've worked with Tom for 20 of the last 21 years and came 10 years ago from Enterprise Elementary. This is now the beginning of my 11th year to be the assistant superintendent of instructional services. And so we built up that department from really not providing any training and support for our teachers and administrators to now having the hub for really all of the nine counties within our region. So we do professional development for teachers, for administrators. Yesterday and the day before, we had all of the high school counselors in the county together with administrators, starting a whole two-year series of training for them. And so it's really grown into a great system of support for our schools and districts in Shasta County. So Tom took another position back, well, he announced to the board in early spring, and I was appointed in April and began officially July 1.
So the elected members of the board, so that's another elected position, and they appointed you.
That's correct. We have seven members of our board.
Who's on the board?
So we have Diane Girard, our longest-standing board member, and she has been on the board since the 80s. Then we have Kathy Berry, Rhonda Hull, who's our current president, Steve McFarlane, Laura Manuel, Denny Mills, and Buffy Tanner.
Okay. And these are all elected positions. They're not paid positions.
They are not.
Okay. You, and this is the only time we'll mention it, but you've announced that you're running for the permanent position.
Yes, I am.
Okay.
And when is that election?
Well, the election will be first in June, and then if there are two that are running, it goes on to November. It's one of those that top two move forward.
Okay, so it's not if you get 51%.
No.
Okay, so it's just the top two.
Mm-hmm. Unless there's only two running.
Watch out for the guy that does the marijuana. Because, you know, when it ran against Modi.
He'll run for something.
Mr. Moon.
Yeah.
Okay. Just if he runs. Anyway. Okay. I've got so many questions, as probably do a lot of people here, about, you know, because it's kind of like it. Y'all are kind of like the, you know, you're taking the, you know, kind of the clandestine type thing. You know, you're below the surface, but there's so many things going on, and there's so many things that are impacting, especially with the new administration and the last administration, kind of looking at things diametrically opposed, because decisions made in the last administration have just been changed in this administration. So I want to take a quick break early and get into that, and I want to talk also on the different school districts you have under you and why we have so many superintendents. That I can't wait to hear the answer on this one, because I just wonder if it ever changes. But I think I know what the answer is already. Okay, we're here with Judy Flores, who is our Shasta County Office of Education, the superintendent in charge of everybody, acting superintendent. And this portion of the show is brought to you by Ted Leidy and Northern Firearms Instruction. He's got the largest privately owned firearm instruction company in California. He teaches in 29 counties. And has instructors from in all of those counties. It's a most complete CCW training you're ever going to see. They've also got advanced classes in pistol, tactical rifle, all of these from Northern Firearms Instruction. Check it out at usgunpro.com online, or give them a call at 530-999-1822. We'll be right back.
You could read my mind, love, what a tale my thoughts could tell. Just like an old-time movie,
about a ghost from a wishing well, in a castle dark or a fortress strong, with chains upon my feet. You know that ghost is me.
Appliance Center.
Prices are falling at Carmona's Appliance Center. You'll find fabulous fall savings on all our Whirlpool, Maytag, KitchenAid, Amana, and Jenner appliances, including washers, dryers, refrigerators, freezers, microwaves, ranges, dishwashers, cooktops, and more. Huge in-stock inventory, local delivery, complete parts and service department at your locally owned brand source dealer, Carmona's Appliance Center, Mistletoe Lane, Reading. Like us on Facebook and log on to carmonasappliances.com.
Your story begins here. Start yours today. Wind River Resort and Casino can make your dreams a reality. From our experienced staff, full setup and cleanup, on-site catering, full-service spa, luxurious hotel, and certified wedding and event planner. Come see what we have to offer. We guarantee you'll be amazed. Our group sales team can set up any room arrangement needed to suit your conference or meeting needs. Book your event today. Call 530-339-7454 or visit windriver.com. It's better at the river.
Do you like to perform and show off your skills and vocals and sing your best? Then head down to Wind River Resort and Casino for karaoke rewards at Overtime Lounge. No cover charge. The action starts every Thursday at 9 p.m. with more ways to earn entries to win a package including a one-night hotel stay, dining certificate, free slot play, and cash. Drawing at the end of the month. Ask how to earn additional tickets. Karaoke rewards Thursdays at Wind River Resort and Casino. For rules and details, log on to windriver.com. Karaoke is better at the river.
Have you received an inheritance or need to roll over a 401k from a former employer? Whatever your investment needs, for experienced, compassionate investment advice, call certified financial planner Tom Wood at the Advice Center at 244-PLAN. He'll take the time to discuss all your investment options for your unique needs. Tom has been helping his clients for nearly 20 years to manage their investments and to lower their taxes to achieve their financial goals. And Tom is offering a free investment tax review all month. He's offering this free investment tax review to help you find out if your investment portfolio is tax efficient or if he can help lower taxes you owe on your investments. Call Tom Wood at 244-7526. That's 244-PLAN. He can help your family develop an investment plan to help you have the financial future you desire. Call the Advice Center for your free investment tax review at 244-7526. That's 244-PLAN. Or go online to theadvicecenter.com. Securities offered through Royal Alliance Associates, member FINRA, SIPC.
Make your purchase of a new luxurious energy-efficient home in the upscale master-planned community of Highland Park, located off Churn Creek Road. Whether you select one of our new style homes currently under construction or choose from our selection of available lots with fabulous views, you'll enjoy amenities that include basketball court, shade structure, bathrooms, children's play area, and masonry work by John Ashmore Masonry, enhancing the look of exteriors with brick and culture stone since 1984. Your Palomar-built Highland Park home is centrally located minutes from downtown and close to shopping. Contact Debbie Morgan at our new model home today.
Carmona's Appliance Center.
At Carmona's Appliance Center, it's barbecue season today and every day. From Broil King, Weber, Traeger, and the Big Green Egg, we carry all the brand names at the best prices in the North State, along with barbecue tools, pellets, barbecue seasonings, and much more. At Carmona's, we know barbecue cooking inside and out. Discover which grill will complete your outdoor kitchen. At Carmona's Appliance Center, your full-service appliance dealer with a full parts and service department, located on Mistletoe Lane, Reading.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here with Carl Bott and Trish Clark. Thursday, Trish is back. Trish, and you were, and thank you for taking Monday too.
My pleasure.
Oh yeah. Well, hey, look, this portion of the show is brought to you by our friends over at North State Security. North State Security has been in business since 1968. They are the ones that take care of REU, the power plants. You see them out there. They've got over 200 officers out there. There's more of them on the road than you're going to see police in our town because there's more of them. They're at a lot of the school events there, at football games and all this, North State Security. Lance Beck and his people started by his father in 1968. An ounce of prevention since 1968 is North State Security. Give them a call at 243-0295. We were just talking about more security at Cascade Theater. I said, you need to talk to these guys over at North State because they can provide the people there. And their people are trained, too, in the de-escalation of events, all of this. So it's not just confrontational. It's also how do you de-escalate everything so everybody just goes away happy or as happy as they can be. All right, North State Security. All right, we're here with Judy Flores, who is our acting superintendent of our schools here in Shasta County at the Office of Education. And I just learned a lot during the break, so I'm going to share what I've learned here. Okay, transgender or unisex bathrooms, guns on campus, you know, goats on the grazing on the football field.
Trap shooting.
Trap shooting. You are in charge of all that. Is that correct?
That is not correct. So one of the things that I think is a common misunderstanding is that the county office is in charge, so to speak, of all the schools. We really are an informational branch and support branch of the California Department of Education, because California is so large, the California Department of Education can't really provide the guidance and support around laws that are passed and policies that are passed from the State Board of Education to every local community. And so county offices of education are used in that capacity. So the state's divided up in 58 different counties. And within our county, we, as laws are passed, as policies are passed from the state board, we make sure our local districts and charter schools are aware of those laws, and then it's up to each local body, each local district, each charter school to then determine how they will proceed with implementing that policy or that law.
So you don't have a hammer.
Is that what you're saying? We do not have a hammer.
You can't force them to do anything.
No.
You can't tell them to do anything.
That's correct.
Okay, so you're just a conduit, right?
And support system. And every county office
Support mm-hmm. in which way?
Well, so one of the things that we've done at Shasta, as you know, we have a lot of small districts. So one of our areas of support is in the area of business. And so about 8 or 9 of our smallest districts come to us, and we do the back-end business support for them. So that they don't have to hire their own business people locally. So we do some of that sort of support.
Bookkeeping stuff.
That, yes.
Is that the business kind you're talking about?
Yes. And then in addition to that, we provide a lot of support for our small districts. As you may or may not know, there's a lot of state reports that are required. And it's hard if you are a small district to keep up on all of those kinds of things. And so we have a co-op, it's called, for our smallest district. So 19 of them participate with Amy Barker, who leads that program, that department, so that they can get the supports that they need in order to do the job within a small district.
How come we have so many small districts?
Well, it's a good question.
And just let me throw the background on this. Is the Marine Corps, and I fall back on the Marine Corps, we used to have our own little admin sections in each one of our companies, and then one at the battalion level. So we took some men off the line because they were not admin types, but they recognized a typewriter. What's that? That's a typewriter. Good, you're working in the office. And we took all that away from the companies, the battalions, and put it up at the regimental level. We consolidated all the administration, mm-hmm. all of it, mm-hmm. at that level. How many schools districts do we have?
So we have 25 school districts.
How many school superintendents do we have?
We have 24. We have not all of them are full-time within our smallest. Right now, the superintendent of Junction is split between Happy Valley, so he is half-time in each.
How big is Junction?
Junction is a one-school district. They have a couple hundred students.
How big is IGO? IGO's like 40, isn't it?
It's pretty small. Mm-hmm. I can.
Okay, I just need to ask this question that every taxpayer needs to ask.
Sure.
Why are we doubling, tripling, quadrupling efforts when a place like Memphis, Tennessee has one school district, one superintendent for 3 million kids?
Mm-hmm.
Why is that happening here?
Well, if you look
and I realize you inherited this isn't something that you built,
mm-hmm.
but why?
So one of the things I think is important to realize is 11 of our 25 districts have been around since before 1900. And I did a little bit of research with the help of the Shasta Historical Society to just get a sense of that background, because I think one of the things our communities really value, the small communities that are rural, so for example, Shasta, Old Shasta, North Cow Creek, Millville, Junction, these were all schools from way back when, before 1900. And one of the things that it has become for many of them is the center of their community. The school is the very heart of their community. And in order for it to change, what it requires is for the district to be in agreement, the board of that district to be in agreement that, yes, another model would work better for us, and we're willing to give up our local control of our school that is the heart of our community and give that authority over in some level. Certainly they would retain a few board members in a unified or consolidated district, but they lose some of that control, and I think that's been a fear. We have had a couple of unifications that have happened. One was in Fall River, where Burney and Fall River combined to be a joint unified school district. The other example more recently was Gateway Unified. But the other times in which it's gone to the voters, because it eventually goes to the voters of the districts within that community, the voters have said no.
Supervisors or superintendents get paid.
They do.
Mm-hmm. They get. Are they also teachers or just superintendents?
Well, in the example of Castle Rock, so Castle Rock is our northernmost district. They have about 65 students. They only have two full-time teachers, and their superintendent is also the principal, is also a part-time teacher. I'll give you another example, and that is at Oak Run.
How much does that superintendent get paid?
I don't have that number.
Is it over 100,000?
I have no idea.
Okay.
Oak Run.
But does he get paid? I'm sorry. Would he get paid as much as, say, Shasta County?
No.
Okay.
Every board will set the salary.
Oh, okay. The board says. Mm-hmm. All right.
I'm going to take the devil's advocate side of this, because I've been involved with those different communities. I represented some of their small ones, the Shingletown area, Millville, those things. And I'm going to tell you that bigger is not always better. And from the mindset of the communities, if you get out into the hinterlands of Shasta County and all of those communities, they kind of feel left out in a lot of areas of what goes on here anyway, because everything happens in the Sker area, Redding, Shasta Lake, and the city of Anderson. And to go into their communities and try to take away the one bit of control they feel like they have left about their lives and their children's lives is their schools. And in fact, that's kind of a truth, because they don't have a lot to say about any of the other rules that are made, because they're geared by that population center. And you kind of have to turn it around and go back to what we've got in the state of California and the argument that's going on right now about Northern California, that your vote doesn't count.
Well,
what would happen if those little 40 kids
no,
there.
Well, no, we're beyond that, though, in my opinion, because already the state is changing things. The state has already said to the county of Shasta, you will have unisex bathrooms. You will let transgender kids going into the locker rooms. They have nothing to say about it. They just passed a law after they gave some autonomy to a school district about the concealed weapon law. They just came back and changed it to take away all that autonomy. So your argument is good. To the point is that the state's already told you what you're going to do. Now, if they do it, if they don't do it, now they can be sued. Now, if they're sued, that falls not just on that school district, but also all of the Office of Education. Is that true?
No.
It does not fall to our office. It falls to the district. But as we review and support districts in looking at their budgets, one of our roles and responsibilities is to make sure that they don't go bankrupt, that they have enough funds to support their district at least over a three-year period. And we take that role very seriously. After what happened in Richmond was the first district that went bankrupt in the state, there were several pieces of supports put in so that as a county office, we are checking in with districts throughout the school year on their budget. Now, if a district was sued, some of that, obviously, the costs there are out of their control. But we come alongside and help them evaluate what funds they may need to set aside for that purpose.
Okay. Oh, yeah. He's got the chat room is going for it now. Now they're fighting back and forth. Or they got a bunch of good questions here. The question here, and we'll take the answer on the other side, is at one time, way back, when Midge Gates of the supervisor, it was not a legal requirement to be a teacher in order to be a head of the board. I'm not sure if that means the board, the school board, or the superintendent.
It was the superintendent.
Okay, and it says, has that changed? So now you have to be a teacher before you can be a head of the board of education. Office of Education.
So in order to be the county superintendent, mm-hmm. You have to have been a teacher. In order to get an administrative credential, you have to have taught a minimum of 5 years. And so an administrative credential is required in order to move in that direction.
And I think okay. that what they're getting at was, I believe that Midge Gates was not.
Okay. And so that was this,
that
they said. So I that it's like you used to be able to run for sheriff.
Without being
a policeman.
That's
and,
right.
You know, sheriffs changed that one, too,
yeah,
huh?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Hey, we'll be right back. This is interesting. And Judy understands that this is not adversarial. These are a lot of questions mm-hmm. that are coming up for the first time. And then now, since we're all stuck for money, and it's going to just get worse and worse and worse, that, you know, finding ways to consolidate mm-hmm. and privatize and things like this is just it's just going to come up.
Mm-hmm.
And you're wanting that job under this next 4 years is going to be toughy.
Mm-hmm.
So I appreciate your honesty and your openness here on answering these. Hey, this portion of the show brought to you by Shasta. I do that every time. Shasta Siskiyou Transport. SSTOL. These guys are great. Not only do they take care of your heaters and your water heaters and your heaters for your house, and it's getting cold. You know, they're going to maintain them. You got to give them a call though. But you can also advertise in the back of the trucks. There's 57,000 places you can get gas from. All of this out of SST, and it was a family owned business, and now it's an employee owned business. And I can't say enough about what they do for our community. Veterans, they're out there in the fire lines all the time, providing fuel, making sure that you know that and that the firefighters have the fuel they need to fight all these fires. They operate everywhere. SST Oil. Give them a call at 241-1167 and find out how you can become part of their family. We'll be right back after these messages with Judy Flores and, of course, Trish Clark.
Hi, I'm Chuck Kinney, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. There's a joke around our company that our propane is better than other companies' propane. The fact is that most propane sold in the North State is manufactured in the same refineries in the Bay Area, so there's really no difference. However, there can be a big difference between propane companies. When you call Shasta Gas, you will be greeted by a friendly, knowledgeable customer service representative that will answer your questions or concerns and even give you an approximate time that your delivery will be there if you need to know. If you want, you can also talk to the owner, me. There may also be a big difference in prices between companies. Our motto at Shasta Gas is our customers are warm friends. So for safety, service, and savings, and to experience this difference, give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
Tri-Counties Bank presents Life's Journey. David and Brianna Strang were newly married, starting on a lifelong journey together. They were ready for a place to call their own, but as recent college graduates with new jobs, they were worried their short work history wouldn't provide enough financial support to qualify them for their first home loan. That's when Tri-Counties Bank home loan specialist Becky Sim joined in on the journey and charted a new path for them. Becky and her team used the Strang's recent college diplomas and new salaries to create a sound case for their future finances, qualifying them for their first home loan. Welcome home, David and Brianna.
Hooray!
Home lending, home equity lines of credit, life's journey. For personalized problem solving, California community branches, over 25,000 surcharge-free ATMs, advanced online and mobile banking, plus live banker support 7 days a week. Switch to Tri-Counties Bank. Tri-Counties Bank. Service with solutions. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender. NMLS number 458732.
Black Bear Diner was started by a couple of hungry guys with a big dream. That dream? Good old-fashioned family food with great service. Like the classic Volcano Breakfast. Secret recipe sweet cream pancakes, hickory smoked bacon, sausage, and fresh cracked eggs. Mmm. Served day or night at over 100 Black Bear Diner locations. Feeding all you hungry bears out there makes us so proud.
Here's your breakfast for dinner. No more coffee?
Thanks, Rosie. I'm sorry. Pancakes at sunset make me a little emotional.
One of the most important tenets of your life is ensuring that your loved ones are cared for even after you're gone. Having a will is important, but can be bogged down in probate court for years. What are your options? Douglas Wright, attorney at law, specializes in estate planning and probate matters. Does a living trust solve all your legal concerns? Douglas Wright will guide you through the many legal aspects of planning for your future and the future of your loved ones. Douglas Wright Law, a professional corporation, 530-243-6000 or Douglas Wright Law.
Just take those old records off the shelf. I tend to listen to them by myself.
Back to Free Fire Radio right here on KCNR 1460 with Trish Clark and Carl Bach. Good morning, everybody. This portion of the show brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop, the only place to get a haircut. Jared and I both agree on this. We go to Man's Last Stronghold. We go to Man's Last Stronghold, a veteran-owned business that gives discounts for seniors and veterans and radio producers. We go down, get our haircut. We find out what's going on in town. We discuss, you know, schools and CDCs and all these other things. All down there at Cypress Square Barbershop, right off Athens Avenue. Great people down there. I like those guys. Okay, I'm here with Trish Clark, and we're here with Judy Flores, who says, you know what? He seemed so nice on the phone when he asked me to come here. He was really nice.
And now he's throwing all this stuff at me I didn't want to talk about.
Well, you know what? Armelino was hard to get on the show because he didn't want to talk about things. You know, Tom, I'll tell you this right now. Because you ask him these questions, I've learned more from you in 25 minutes than I did on like 4 hours with Tom and asking these questions. And I think, frankly, that is so refreshing. And let me just say this, as Judy is running for the job. She's the acting superintendent of the Office of Education. And she doesn't have all the answers, but she just says that. You know, hey, look, this is what it is. This is the way it is.
Well, and I like that frankness.
And so do I.
Yeah, but instead of talking around
I don't have kids in school,
that.
So maybe this jaundices me in a certain way. But I'm like this, too, is that I'd like to think of that there's as minimum waste, not waste, but bureaucracy, mm-hmm. so that money goes back down into the classroom.
Absolutely.
I don't want it to go back up to the state.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see that money in the classroom. People are spending hundreds of dollars at the beginning of the year for supplies for their kids in school. When did that start?
Long time ago.
Long time ago.
Long time ago.
That was a long time ago.
My kids are all in their 20s now, but I can remember, you know, having supplies every year. You know,
I mean, it's one thing to buy paper and pens and this stuff. But they're talking, they get a list of stuff from the teacher to bring in there. I mean, stuff that everybody uses. I mean, this is stuff that used to be provided by the school.
And is
what school? Where did you go to school? Not in California.
Obviously not.
I had my education.
He's a
grown
really?
Man. And I always remember the list at the beginning when he was mm-hmm. in high school.
Mm-hmm.
Of all this folder for this class and that folder for
this
class.
Folders, yes.
And
that's
pens
personal,
and pencils.
Personal
and
stuff. But I'm seeing things but aren't they buying stuff for the classroom, too? Like extra paper, you know, glue sticks and all these things?
Just for their own personal use.
And I would agree. Teachers will ask. They can't require.
No.
But certainly teachers pay a lot. My husband's a teacher. They pay a lot out of their own pocket in order to support the classroom.
Right.
There's limited money to go around, but teachers always find a way to make it work.
They always do.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Judy Flores is here with us, and we're talking about. Now, So we've learned is that we've got these small districts. We have 22 superintendents, not 24, because we recounted everybody during the break.
Some of them are superintendents and principals and teachers.
Right.
Correct.
Where some of the districts are in deficit spending. Is that correct?
A few.
Okay. Mm-hmm. What happens? I guess I don't understand. This just came up. What happens if they're in deficit spending? It means they're spending more than they're making, more than their school bonds are saying or whatever.
So set school bonds aside because that really is for facilities and specific projects.
Targeted.
Right. Yes. Okay. Cool.
But in an ongoing way, districts. Well, think of it in terms of a savings account. You know, for at home, you have some savings, but then you have ongoing expenses.
Sure.
And the goal always is to work out of not spend more than what you're bringing in every month.
Mm-hmm.
And yet at a school district level, they may have some projects that will require them to dip into their savings. And if they continue to dip into their savings that way, that's really the idea. So they may have deficit spending because they are upgrading something. Whether it be technology related, upgrading classroom instructional materials, but they all have a way within 3 years to have a balanced budget.
Okay.
They have a plan.
Where do people,
where do they get their money?
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask. Where do the districts get their money?
So all of the districts get their money through, it's all state driven, through income tax. We have a few of our smallest districts that get their money directly through property taxes, just based on where they are and what it is that they have as their base. So one example of that is Indian Springs. So they're very small in our area, those that have a different model. But it's generated based on attendance. A district may have 3,000 students, but if the attendance only comes in showing on a regular typical day 2,500 are there, that's what they're funded on, not on the full 3,000. And so attendance has become very important in the last few years when that change was made from funding districts based on enrollment to funding based on attendance.
Which is a good thing because then it makes the schools pay more attention to whether the children, in fact, are coming to school.
The other thing, too, addresses the
truancy problem, which is part of the problem with our kids.
And then there's another pot of money that came into play with the local control funding formula, and it was the new way in which funding came to schools about 5 years ago now. And if you had a high population of low-income students, foster youth students or English learners, the state gave an extra amount per student to help you better meet their needs. And then, so those were called supplemental dollars. And then if your district or a specific area within your district had what they called a concentration of students in those high populations of low-income foster youth and English learners, then you got even more money on top of that. Because it's one thing to have a few who are in need, and you get the money to support those individual students. But if you have over 50% of your district population that is within that high-need area, there was concentration dollars that were also given. And so at this point, the way our districts are funded and the levels of funding that come in are very different from each other. As opposed to where it has been historically, where they all received the same rate of pay for the same age of student. High school always gets more than elementary districts just due to the nature of all that we need to offer within a high school context.
Okay. So do we have districts that have high concentrations?
We do.
Okay.
So we have
mainly the poor or the financially... Financial one or English speaking or all?
So it's primarily low income.
Uh-huh.
Probably foster. Probably some of the schools have the foster.
They do. The numbers for foster youth are not nearly as high as most schools' numbers for low income. But if a student happens to be both foster youth and low income, they're still only counted once in the funding. It's not counted multiple times because they have multiple areas identified.
All right. We're here with Judy Flores, who's the acting superintendent of the Office of Education for Shasta County and is running for that office. And it's going to be, I guess, in June, like that, that the election is. Mm-hmm. I don't. Does anybody ever run besides Tom? Did anybody ever run against Tom?
Absolutely. Not in a few years, but
it's been several times.
We used to have some really good elections for superintendent of school.
Yeah, the last...
Back in the mid-Gates days, and if you look back in that era, it was a very contentious. I'm surprised that the questions that I've talked to people recently, that they've kind of forgotten about the education department. They're not focusing on it.
Yeah, the last time there was a contested election was when Carol Whitmer ran against Rich Christensen, and that was the term prior to when Tom came on board.
So it was like, what, in the 90s?
No, we had Charlie Manure in the 90s, and it was right after Charlie finished, after his 12 years at the county.
Okay. Hey, we're going to take a break here. This portion of the show brought to you by Wellgate Sports Club. You know, we really want to work out, and it's a bad day outside. It's too hot. It's too cold. It's too rainy. It does make a difference for me anyway. It could be a perfect day. I still go down to Wellgate, get on their machines. They've got a saltwater swimming pool in there. That is just simply outstanding. They've got every type of machine you can possibly want to work out on. And at the end of it, they've got the spa, Boheme Spa there, that you can, after working out, Jared likes to go in and get a facial after he works out there at the end of the workout because it's tough and he wants that skin that shows to be fresh and vibrant. So the Wellgate Sports Club on the corner of Cypress and Eureka Way. And just go and see Rich Novelli and any of the pros down there to take you through. Tell them Carl and Linda sent you. And just to have a good workout and find out why you want to become a part of this club. We'll be right back.
Save, save, save.
At Redding Kia's Customer Appreciation 10 Sale this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Redding Kia says thank you with big discounts on every new Kia in stock.
This Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, 418 East Cypress Avenue, Redding Kia, reddingkia.com.
While serving in Iraq, Sergeant Jason Nielsen suffered a paralyzing injury. Paralyzed Veterans of America's service officers are trained to help injured veterans get all the benefits they've earned. To help paralyzed veterans, visit pva.org.
It's going to be the monster Halloween house party of the year with Wind River Resort and Casino's House Party Halloween Bash. Featuring the well-known hip-hop duo Kid and Play performing Do This My Way, Getting Funky, Funhouse, and Rolling with Kid and Play. Plus, DJ Guilty, spinning live beats all night long. DJ Guilty. The house party kicks off on Saturday, October 28th at 9 o'clock. Drink specials, dancing, cash drawings, costume contest, over $3,000 in cash and prizes. Pre-sale admission is $20, $30 day up. VIP booth, $350. Includes six guests, swag, cocktail service, and one bottle of Sky Vodka. This signature event sells out fast. Get your tickets now. Wind River Resort and Casino is the place to be for your monster Halloween house party. Don't forget to check out our Spooktober hotel package. Must be 21 to attend. Download the Wind River app on Google Play or the Apple Store. We offer our guests a free safe ride courtesy shuttle home.
Halloween is better at the river.
The seasons are changing. Keeping your family healthy is important. So is the health of your car. The longevity of your vehicle depends on you to make sure the oil, radiator coolant, windshield wipers, and other vital systems all have been taken care of so your car can bring your healthy family through the seasons. Drive into Premier Oil Change today and experience the friendly oil change. Premier doesn't require an appointment, and you don't need to drop your car off or wait. Premier changes your fluids while you stay in the comfort and safety of your own car. Enjoy a free beverage and free Wi-Fi qualify while our trained technicians perform our comprehensive 30-point certified service. Earn free oil changes and more with Premier Rewards. Learn more at PremierOilChange.com or visit us in Palisades in the Holiday Market Shopping Center or on Lake Boulevard next to Waterworks Park. Both locations get you a free car wash with every oil change. Premier Oil Change, home of the friendly oil change.
Premier, your friendly oil change. Premier, your friendly oil change.
Make your purchase of a new luxurious energy-efficient home in the upscale master plan community of Highland Park, located off Churn Creek Road. Whether you select one of our new style homes currently under construction or choose from our selection of available lots with fabulous views, you'll enjoy amenities that include basketball courts, shade structure, bathrooms, children's play area, and masonry work by John Ashmore Masonry, enhancing the look of exteriors with brick and culture stone since 1984. Your Palomar-built Highland Park home is centrally located minutes from downtown and close to shopping. Contact Debbie Morgan at our new model home today.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR 1460. 48 degrees going up to 70 today. I think we're getting a little rain tonight, probably a little rain tomorrow. It's
going to
be
wind.
And some wind, and then it clears up on Saturday. Sunday will be beautiful, and Monday it looks like back up almost to 90 again.
Enough.
I'm just
enough. I'm ready for winter. I'm ready for fall.
I'm ready. I'm going to turn off my water on the yard. You know, and every time I turn it off, it goes up to 90, then it takes me an hour to turn it back on. Anyway, hey, we're here with Judy Flores, who is the acting superintendent of the Shasta County Office of Education and is also running for it. But she won't talk about that, but I can. All right, questions here. You know, and it's a big thing you're seeing where we have schools that are failing. I'm not saying Shasta County, but the schools in this nation are just absolutely failing their students. The big thing then is, you know, hey, give the kids a chance to go to a charter school, and then that battle's on. But here in Shasta County, in California, there are acceptable levels that the state has said that we have to live to. Mm-hmm. I asked you during the break, how many of our districts meet that level? And that's kind of a specific question. So, you know, I know you got a whole book of things here. So I'm not sure if that one is in that book. But how many do you believe that are at that level, you know, which is acceptable, and how many are below? I know it goes by grades and everything. Would you say your percentage?
Well, one of the things, let me just switch your question up a little bit.
Okay.
The state changed our assessment system a few years back, and we now have a English language arts and math assessment. We'll soon be adding a science assessment. And with the whole way that we used to do testing with what were called CSTs, California Standardized Tests, there was a ranking that was done from the highest band, top 10% of schools, down to the lowest band, bottom 10% of schools.
Okay.
And they no longer approach, we don't have that ranking anymore. So it's hard to answer your question directly because we used to have that statewide list that we could pull out and see
these at
the bottom.
I'm coming into this county of Shasta, and I'd say, okay, so what are the schools like? Uh-huh. Are they, you know, are they teaching above average? You know, are their students reaching the level? So is there a way of finding that out?
Yeah.
Okay.
So the state has a website. It's called CASP, CASP, yep. Test Results. And so you can go on there and take a look at the results for every school, for every district. They've also now added in the spring of this year what's called the California School Dashboard. And it's just CA School Dashboard. Mm-hmm. Is how you find that link on the internet. And what they've done is they've broadened the view of what you're able to see to evaluate a school or a district. It was baselined. The data was put in for the first time in the spring, and then it will be updated as of about December 1st. And within that new dashboard, you're able to see suspension rates. You're able to see how they did on the English language arts and math. And there's a color coding system that identifies your bottom portion in red, the top portion in blue, and then there's a three-color bands in between that.
Mm-hmm.
So parents certainly as they move into a community can take a look at that. One of the things that I think is always, when I moved to Shasta County, didn't realize that we have open enrollment, which has created a different situation than you see other places in California, certainly other places in the nation, where students don't have to go to their local school. As long as their parents can provide transportation, they can go to any school that they want to in the county. So whether that's charter school, whether that's a school closer to where they work, or one that they feel is a better fit for the needs of their students. So they have lots of options here. And so it really does create a heightened competition.
Competitive market.
Yes, very much so.
Because for the funding, the schools then have to be acceptable. They want to attract those students because they need funding to run their program.
That's right. And with the funding based on actual attendance, it really does, that is the new market.
Okay, now I'm looking at this dashboard. This is how easy it is to use. While she's talking about it, I typed in California School Dashboard. Boom, takes me right to it. And I'm looking here at Shasta High School. And it says under state indicators, chronic absenteeism.
So that one is not yet up.
It says non-A. Not applicable.
The reason why is the state only started gathering that data about a year and a half ago. And so that will change to show a number for last year as the first year that all of California was collecting the data in the same way. In another year, it will have a color associated with it.
Okay, and it does on the next one, suspension rate. It has a color of yellow, which means, I guess, kind of average.
Yes.
Average. Uh-huh. Under graduation rate, 9 through 12, its performance level is high. So that's good. Mm-hmm. But when you get down into these, it says basic teachers, instructional materials, facilities, ratings met.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't tell you what goes into that.
Yes.
But you can look that up, I'm sure.
Yes.
But everything here shows it being met. Parent engagement, implementation of academic standards, local climate survey, everything's met.
Mm-hmm.
This is Shasta High School.
Okay.
I just threw that first one in.
Yeah.
So you can find that out.
Yeah, and so that's a great resource to begin looking at schools in the area.
But you don't know how they're being measured. It just says, so you've got to dig into it to find out.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So what happens if you have some of these that are unmet?
Well, one of the things that the county office does is we come alongside districts to say, how can we help you? Can we be an outside set of eyes and ears to give you suggestions? And they may, you know, in some of the instances on that dashboard, the data is older. It will be far more updated because it was more a test this spring to see, and now the data will be more current in some of those areas. And so districts may say, you know, we've changed our suspension policy since that data was, because it's not last year's data. It's older than that.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've changed our policy, and our more recent rates are far better than that. So if they're already headed in the right direction, there's no need for us to get involved, but we offer our support and service in any area that they may need assistance.
Okay, so we've got just a couple of minutes left here, and I really have a question that I want to ask, and that is, there's lots of discussion at the federal level about changes in education and the new education secretary and those things. How much of an impact, anything they do at that federal level,
mm-hmm.
how much of an impact is that actually going to have on our local school districts and how our children learn?
Mm-hmm. It's a good question. Our state board of education has used the analogy of the federal Department of Ed really being the tail of a dog, right? That so much of our funding is really state driven. We only get a small piece, and they don't want to have the tail wag the dog. And so where it makes the biggest impact on our schools is in Title I money that they receive. And so if you have high concentrations of low-income students, you can write a plan. A new one will be coming out in the next year. Write a plan for how you'll meet the needs and apply for those monies. But beyond that, that level of funding. There's also some Title II for teacher professional development, administrative professional development. But the vast majority, over 90% of our funds, are driven by state. It's not at the federal level.
Okay, but more importantly than funding, there are some fundamental flaws in our education system in the United States. A lot of us think. Okay, that's my perception. Certainly I feel it. I think that Betsy DeVos has some ideas that address some of those things. More freedom of choice for parents. More charter school availability. Things that let us make decisions about our children. Mm-hmm. What kind of things can she put in place that the State Board of Education not going to be able to override, or can she?
It's a good question. So many of our decisions come back to the local state level. Yeah. And so even when you think about, you know, there was a lot of question about Common Core. And really, it's the state's decision on standards. It's not a national decision.
So just like our decision at the Anderson Union High School District to have on-carry availability on their campuses, the state can take it away.
It goes right back to what we said 20 minutes ago.
There you go.
It is that the state can override everything you do.
Federal Anna.
Okay, by the way, this dashboard thing, if you're looking for it, if you dig into it deeper, you can see things that I didn't notice the first time, but this is, you know, on how people are prepared for college and all these other. It's not a bad thing to check about if you're interested in something like this. Judy Flores, thank you so much for being with us today.
You're welcome.
That you'll come back again.
Absolutely.
She wants to be the
full-time. I love your
willingness
to answer questions. It's refreshing.
It's cool. It is. It's great because you don't have all the answers, but you just say that. Hey, tomorrow, Dr. Kara Tennant's coming in, plus we have our man on the street and football. All is tomorrow and Friday. It's the good guys against the bad guys out there. Be a good guy today.
At the gates of hell, but I won't back down.
The news is brought to you on KCNR, Shasta, Redding by Tobacco and Brew. Come see their newly remodeled store at 2143 Hilltop Drive in Redding. Tobacco and Brew, open 7 days a week.
Have John Kelly's son into a political attack on President Barack Obama. This all follows questions about what the president said in a phone call to a military widow. Sarah Huckabee Sanders is the White House press secretary.
General Kelly was present for the call and thought it was completely appropriate. He thought the call was respectful, and he thought that the president did the best job he could under those circumstances to offer condolences on behalf of the country.
Sergeant LaDavid Johnson was one of